Have you ever wondered how Noah would have fitted dinosaurs on the ark? For example, how would a large sauropod like Brachiosaurus even get in the door? This question is often used to challenge the validity of the Bible, but new research has provided a stunning answer. By studying the growth rings in dinosaur bones, scientists have discovered that dinosaurs underwent a tremendous adolescent growth spurt. Take, for example, the huge Apatosaurus. Scientists hypothesize that their growth spurt started at about 5 years of age when they weighed about 1 ton. During the spurt, however, they put on about 5 tons per year until they reached about 25 tons. The Bible tells us that God brought the animals to Noah for the ark voyage. Therefore, it's reasonable to assume that God would have chosen young dinosaurs that hadn't yet undergone their growth spurt. So yes, there was plenty of room for Brachiosaurus.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
How can a lack of erosion undermine evolutionary ideas of long ages of Earth history? Well, when geologists study the boundary between two rock layers, they sometimes conclude that there was a significant time gap between when the lower and upper rock layers were laid down. However, many boundaries don't show any evidence of elapsed time. The Grand Canyon provides startling examples. One is where the Coconino sandstone overlies the Hermit Shale. The surface between these rock layers is remarkably flat and smooth, a flat gap. Yet, according to conventional geology, there is a 6 million year gap between these rock layers. The underlying shale is soft rock, so it should have eroded a lot if exposed for this time. But the Hermit Shale doesn't show this erosion. This shows that the upper sandstone was deposited on the lower shale so quickly that there was not time for erosion of the shale. Something is obviously wrong with the conventional geological timescale.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Did you know that the Earth's magnetic field has reversed direction or flipped multiple times in the past? The evidence for these reversals is rock solid, because when molten rock cools, certain mineral grains align with the Earth's magnetic field, thus recording the direction of the Earth's magnetic field at the time in the solidified rock. Previously, most geologists thought that a single reversal would take many thousands of years. However, creation physicist Dr. Russell Humphreys reasoned they must have happened quickly to fit within the biblical timescale. So Dr. Humphreys made a prediction that quickly cooling thin lava flows would be found that recorded fast changes in the direction of the magnetic field. This prediction was later proven correct. Scientists were shocked to find major magnetic field changes had occurred within weeks in a single lava flow. They published this in the regular scientific literature. Thus, yet another scientific prediction based on biblical history proved to be correct.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
What sort of catastrophe would be required to entomb over 120 species of marine invertebrates in fine-grained rock? This is not just a hypothetical question. In the Canadian Rockies, over 120 species of marine invertebrates have been found preserved in a famous formation known as the Burgess Shale. Most of these animals were soft-bodied, and many are so exquisitely preserved that you can still see the food in their stomachs. It appeared they were buried and preserved almost instantaneously. Moreover, the creatures were apparently buried in turbulent conditions because the fossils are found dumped at a variety of angles relative to the bedding. Fossil graveyards like this are found all over the world. Collectively, they point to catastrophic flooding occurring on a worldwide scale, if the global flood recorded in the Bible actually occurred.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Dinosaur tracks have been found all over the world, but curiously, these trackways are almost always straight. Usually, when animals are relaxed, they meander around in all directions, but if they're frightened, they tend to move fast in one direction. So, why do dinosaur tracks suggest they were panicking when they made the footprints? The global flood recorded in the Bible provides a compelling answer. As the waters rose during Noah's flood, various mechanisms, such as tidal movements of the water, caused flood-laid sediments to be briefly exposed. This allowed dinosaurs that had previously been caught up in the currents to make tracks on the freshly laid sediments before the sediments were inundated again. Thus, dinosaurs were experiencing global panic when they made their footprints, and that explains why their trackways are so often straight. The preservation of tracks also requires their rapid burial, as would happen in the flood.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Have you ever stared at something and thought about how God created every single atomic particle in it from nothing and designed the mechanisms and forces by which the particles would bond together to form materials? The power and the intelligence of the Creator are astounding. This is the same God who created us to live on this planet and to enjoy and marvel at His creative power. All the answers to the key questions about our existence are laid out for us in the book of Genesis. When it happened, how it happened, what is our relationship with our Creator God, what is our role on this earth, and why we experience death and suffering in the midst of beauty. Because God Himself gave us His eyewitness account of what happened from the start of time, we have the one and only credible source for answering these fundamental questions, the Bible.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Calling someone a mutant is an insult because mutations, which are copying mistakes in DNA, are almost always bad. In fact, we know many mutations by the diseases that they cause. And to make matters worse, more mutations are added to the human genome each generation. In his recent book, Genetic Entropy and the Mystery of the Genome, former Cornell University professor John Sanford points out the seriousness of this problem. He shows that mutations are rapidly decaying the information within the human genome. However, this is surprising because according to evolutionary theory, mutations coupled with natural selection is the means by which new information arises. But according to Sanford, if mutation and selection cannot preserve the information already within the genome, it's difficult to imagine how it could have created all that information in the first place.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Did you know that part of the geological column is found upside down in Pakistan? At the foot of the Karakoram Mountains in the Salt Range Formation, scientists have discovered fossilized plants and insects. From an evolutionary perspective, these remains belong to the upper part of the geological column. However, this formation lies beneath Cambrian rocks, which are supposedly over 400 million years older. So why are the fossils of more complex life buried below fossils considered much more primitive? This is a vexing evolutionary problem. Discoveries such as these support the biblical version of Earth history, whereby the geological column is primarily a consequence of the global flood and its aftermath. It is no surprise that there is some order in the fossil record, such as sea creatures buried beneath land creatures and mobile creatures such as birds near the top. But, as the Salt Range Formation testifies, the ordered charts that adorn textbooks aren't necessarily what we find in the field.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Goosebumps form when our skin gets cold. According to some evolutionists, we develop these bumps on our skin at the base of body hairs because we are supposedly related to hairy ancestors, for which they served a purpose. Since humans have minimal hair, they often dismiss goosebumps as a non-functional relic of our supposed evolutionary past. However, human goosebumps are not useless. Even with the small amount of hair we have, when it stands on end, it helps to conserve body heat by trapping more air. Also, the muscles associated with goosebumps help squeeze oil onto the skin, and the hairs help prevent the oil glands from becoming clogged. Moreover, the muscle contractions generate heat, of which more can be generated by shivering. Goosebumps, therefore, do not necessarily support the idea we are related to hairy animals, but they do provide evidence for a common designer using the goosebump concept in many different creatures.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Who would have ever thought that scratches in rocks could disprove the biblical flood? Well, scratches in rock, called striations, are sometimes caused by a glacier moving over bedrock. Therefore, when geologists encounter striated rock, they often claim that a glacier caused it. Striated rock occurs within the sedimentary rocks that were laid down by Noah's flood. Evolutionary geologists claim this is evidence of multiple ancient ice ages, so they claim that Noah's year-long flood could not have laid down these rocks. However, we now know that underwater landslides cause rock striations similar to those caused today by glaciers. Furthermore, there are important differences between glacial deposits formed today and those of the alleged ancient ice ages. So don't let scratches in rocks scratch away your confidence in God's word.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In recent years, NASA probes have sent back images of our nearest planet, Mars. These images have prompted some scientists to suggest that a global flood once carved the Martian landscape, even though no liquid water has yet been found. The Bible records an event that certainly sounds like a global flood on Earth. Genesis records that all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. Jesus himself, referring to those not on Noah's Ark, said, "The flood came and took them all away." Unlike the elusive water on Mars, water covers 70% of the Earth's surface, and water-deposited sedimentary rock covers much of the land surface. So isn't it strange that many people who are open to the possibility of a global flood on Mars, despite the absence of water, immediately dismiss any suggestion that a global flood occurred on Earth?
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Did you know that the rock layers in the Grand Canyon provide strong evidence for the biblical flood? The Grand Canyon, with its distinctive layers exposed in the canyon walls, has been carved through a high plateau. However, if we follow the layers into the eastern part of Arizona, we see the same rock units about a mile lower in elevation. In this area, we see significant folding of the layers. According to conventional geology, this uplift and folding occurred long after the sediments had hardened into rock, so it should have caused significant fracturing of the rocks. But this is not what we find. Instead, it appears that the layers, which supposedly represent 300 million years of Earth history, have undergone plastic deformation without fracturing. This suggests the sediments were soft and unconsolidated when they bent. This contradicts evolutionary Earth history, but it fits nicely with the layers forming during the biblical flood and being bent before they had become hard rock.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Helium gas is renowned for its ability to diffuse through materials quickly. Why is it then that we find an abundance of helium in certain rock crystals, that it has not managed to escape from them? This has significant implications for the dating of rocks using radioactive decay. That's because helium is formed when some radioisotopes decay, and therefore lots of helium suggests lots of decay has occurred. Moreover, if lots of decay has occurred, it also suggests that the rock is very old. However, nuclear physicist Dr. Russell Humphreys realized that lots of helium trapped in the rock crystals that had not had time to diffuse out means that the rocks were actually young. Dr. Humphreys concluded that nuclear decay rates must have been dramatically faster in the recent past, and that is why rocks that are actually only thousands of years old are commonly wrongly dated using radioisotope decay as millions or billions of years old.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Have the fish in New York's Hudson River evolved into super mutants? A large proportion of the river's Atlantic tomcod fish have developed resistance to certain poisons, and the mass media has heralded this as a dramatic example of evolution in action. However, far from supporting microbes to man evolution, these mutant fish have actually devolved, not evolved. That's because the fish have become resistant through a loss of genetic information. Non-resistant fish have special proteins in their cells that allow the poisons to bind. However, due to a genetic mutation, the proteins of resistant fish cannot bind the poisons as readily, so corrupted proteins have made the fish resistant. And in the poison-rich environment of the Hudson River, it's no wonder that the mutated gene facilitating resistance has quickly spread throughout the tomcod population. It is misleading to call these changes evolution, because evolution requires the addition of new genetic information. But these resistant fish have only demonstrated information loss.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
A century ago, Nobel Prize-winning biologist Sir Peter Medawar made a startling comment. He declared that the survival of a child in a mother's womb contradicted immunological laws. Since the immune system normally detects foreign tissue and attacks it, you'd expect the mother's immune system to attack the genetically distinct child within her. Well, we now know that it actually does, but the baby survives by putting up a very specific defense. Researchers at the Medical College of Georgia discovered that mammalian embryos produce a special enzyme, the that suppresses the mother's killer T cell action. A human embryo starts to produce this enzyme just before it attaches to the mother's uterus. This refutes a major argument used to support abortion, that the embryo is just a part of the mother's body to do with as she pleases. The research clearly shows that the human embryo is distinct from its mother from the beginning.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Many people are under the mistaken impression that people from different racial backgrounds have big differences in their DNA instructions. But this is not the case. The entire human race has a remarkably low level of genetic variety. Some biologists have remarked that if you sequence the DNA of two humans on opposite sides of the globe, their DNA would show less variation than that of two chimpanzees on the same mountain in Africa. These discoveries have profound implications. Since the human race has low genetic variety, this means it must have originated fairly recently. Racial groups have not, therefore, evolved independently over long periods of time. These discoveries are consistent with the Bible's version of history, whereby the human population originated from two parents only thousands of years ago, and that the people groups have originated since then.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
If you suffer from high blood pressure, you're certainly not alone. The incidence of high blood pressure, also known as hypertension, is on the increase. To combat this problem, doctors can prescribe several types of medication which lower blood pressure by different mechanisms. It has long been thought that black people and white people respond differently to these different drugs, so doctors were advised to consider a patient's race when choosing which medication to prescribe. But research recently published in the medical journal Hypertension has shown that this approach is flawed. Researchers found that the variation between so-called races is much less than within each racial group. So the new recommendation is that race should not be a factor in deciding which medication to prescribe. It appears that the differences between racial groups aren't that significant after all, which is what we would expect from the Bible's history and teaching.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
What is something that computers and humans have in common, which constantly needs upgrading in computers, but not in humans? The answer is software. You may not have realized you have software, but inside the nucleus of each of your cells, a program is written in the form of 3 billion DNA letters. Intelligent programmers write computer software, but what about living things? Evolutionists tell us that the information in the first living cell just appeared by itself with no intelligent input required. But is that possible? The answer is a resounding no. Even one of Australia's best-known scientists, Paul Davies, conceded that there is no known law of physics able to create information from nothing. And perhaps that's why, in a New Scientist article, he lamented, "How did stupid atoms spontaneously write their own software? Nobody knows."
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Many claim that our eyes' retinas are wired backwards. Thus, they say, our eyes could not have been specially designed because an intelligent creator would have wired them correctly. But this claim doesn't make sense. After all, octopus retinas are wired in the supposedly correct way, but their sight is poor compared to ours. Ophthalmologist Dr. Peter Gurney has shown that there are good reasons our retinas are wired the way they are. In particular, it allows the photoreceptors to be in close contact with two special tissues behind the retina that are necessary for regenerating the photoreceptors and absorbing excess heat. But these tissues are both opaque, so if our retinas were wired the other way, you'd be trying to look through two opaque surfaces, which would mean you'd see nothing. And then the eagles have the same wiring as us, and they are renowned for their eagle eyes. Maybe the Creator got it right after all.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Evolutionists have long proposed that nearly all our DNA, 98%, is junk, that it has no function whatsoever. They claimed this because evolution needs lots of junk DNA for three reasons. Firstly, there are far too many mutations which would cause our extinction, but if nearly all of them occurred in junk DNA, then they are less of a problem. Secondly, if mutations, accidental changes, created us, then accidents cannot create DNA with 100% function. This would be unbelievable. Thirdly, if mutations created us, they must have occurred in lots of DNA that had no function to allow lots of experimentation without damaging the existing functions. However, modern science reveals that nearly all our DNA has a function, and this is a huge problem for evolution. Creationist scientists doubted the junk DNA idea all along, although because we live in a fallen world, they expected to find some damaged DNA that might appear to be junk, but not much.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Many biologists have long touted that much of our DNA is useless junk. Richard Dawkins put it this way. Can we measure the information capacity of that portion of the genome which is actually used? We can at least estimate it. In the case of the human genome, it is about 2%. Thus, to Dawkins, the other 98% of the genome was useless junk. But these statements are based on ignorance. Just because we aren't aware of a function of much of our DNA doesn't mean that it has no function. A recent paper in the prestigious journal Nature has now shown that about 93% of the human genome is used, not 2 or 3%. And further studies may raise this to 100%. So the whole genome is probably used, and there is no such thing as junk DNA. It's an idea that belongs in the trash can, as Bible-believing scientists said when the idea was proposed.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Does the iconic Australian koala have its pouch upside down? This might sound like a silly question, but some biologists have claimed that the koala's downward-facing pouch would work better if it faced upwards. They argue that the koala pouch is only facing downwards because of its alleged evolutionary relationship to a wombat-like ancestor. However, koala pouches work extremely well in their current orientation. When koalas climb trees, as they must do to feed, their bellies rub against the bark. If the mother's pouch faced upwards, it would fill up with debris. Moreover, the rear opening has soft tissues and a ring of muscles that hold the young ones in. The pouch also secretes antimicrobial proteins to make it nice and clean just before it's due to carry a new young one. Thus, koala pouches are well designed, not poorly designed, as you would expect from the master designer. They do just what they were designed to do.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In 1978, a team led by Mary Leakey discovered a series of footprints in Tanzania. These are known as the Laetoli footprints. According to many researchers, these footprints are identical to those made by humans. Paleoanthropologist Donald Johansson stated, "Make no mistake about it, they are like modern human footprints." Why is it then that most scientists reject the idea that humans made these footprints? To understand this odd situation, it's important to realize that evolutionists think that the footprints were made in ash 3.6 million years ago. Therefore, according to such evolutionary ideas, humans weren't around then, so the footprints can't be human. But if a human didn't make the footprints, who or what did? A Scientific American article acknowledges that this is still an unsolved mystery, but I can't help feel it's just a mystery of their own making, caused by their evolutionary thinking, instead of taking the Bible's history seriously.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In Job 40, in response to Job's questioning of God's wisdom, God sets out his credentials and challenges Job to answer a 77-question creation science exam. He says to Job, "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." The exam covers the breadth of God's creative power, mentioning the wonders of many animals that we are familiar with, such as the lion, raven, deer, ox, and ostrich. Finally, there is Leviathan, a terrifying aquatic creature with an impenetrable hide impervious to harpoons, fearsome teeth, and a back covered in rows of shields. It even has firebrands streaming from its mouth and smoke from its nostrils. Though this may sound mythological to us, Job recognized it as a real creature. Indeed, one candidate from the fossil record is Sarcosuchus, a 12-meter or 40-foot monster with an unusual bulbous cavity at the end of its snout that could conceivably have been used for mixing fire-generating chemicals.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.